All right, if you got your Bibles, we're going to start somewhere this morning. I've got something I want to share with you today. I think this is going to be really good. We're going to jump over to Genesis chapter 17. You guys know this. We've been talking about finances. How many of you guys know that? we've been talking about finances. We've been talking about money for a while. And, you know, it's very interesting because when we started talking about finances, I really honestly thought that I would just do a message strictly on finances. But what I have found out is that God has multiple things to say, not just about finances, but our personal life, our marriages, our relationships, growth, etc. And so when I'm preaching, I've noticed that I'm talking about money, but then also there's application to different areas of our life. And I've noticed that over the last couple of messages that we shared. We talked about finding joy in things, and we said this a couple of weeks ago, that you cannot find happiness in things. Happiness is a feeling that people chase throughout their whole life, and we made mention of this. Some of the most miserable people in the world are those that chase their own happiness, because how many of you know happiness changes because it's a feeling? Feelings change. Do you guys not know that? How many of you guys' feelings have changed since you come through the church door this morning? I mean, you come in, you may be a little tired, now you're awake. You might have been a little frustrated, now you're a little more happy. You might be happy, and now you're mad. I mean, your feelings change and they fluctuate. And so one of the things that happens is, we said this a couple of weeks ago, you find your true happiness in Him. Amen. It's in Him is where happiness is. I mean, yes, it's nice to have nice things, and I'm not saying those things don't make you happy, but how many of you know happiness wanes off, or it fades off after that new factor disappears for a while? And eventually, after a while, your car is just a car. Your clothes are just your clothes. Your shoes are just your shoes. And if you're chasing happiness, what you do is you go try to buy more cars to find more happiness, and you find out that it never fulfills that need that you really have, which is actually the only way you can find it is found in Him. That's why so many people chase things. And that's why they can't find happiness, because it's found in Him. So we talked about in the areas of finances, but then see, it correlates to the rest of your life. And then last week, we talked about being led by the Spirit of God. Now, how many of you know that works in every area of your life? Learning to be led by the Spirit of God is one of the best things you can do as a Christian, not only financially, but personally. And we made mention of that last week. But I was thinking this week, and the Lord had me write some things down I want to share with you today. And that is this. Does anybody in here, are there any what I call book nerds in here? Book nerd. People that like to read. Is there people? Yeah, there's my brother Josh. He's kind of a book nerd. Josh reads like ridiculous amounts. He reads a lot, and when he reads like big books, like 800 page books. You know, my attention spans a little more like the 400. You know, I kind of bounce to and fro. But Josh likes to read, and one of the things that my brother and I both like to read, we like comics. We like comics a lot. We like the art in it. We like the story in them. Some people like to read comics. Some people like to read novels. Some people like biographies. Everybody kind of has different things they like to read, you know, not only the Word of God, but I'm talking about added on to that. But when you read something, have you ever been in a place where you're reading a book and you kind of get lost in it? Anybody ever have that happen? You're like, you're there. And I mean, you're like, you're there, and you're in the world, and you're just like, your heart's racing, or your palms are sweating, or you're excited, and like, you're just reading a book. You're sitting in a chair, and the birds are chirping, and you're just reading a book. And you're there, and all of a sudden, somebody comes in your house and scares you, you know? Because you're so lost in that world. You're so lost in that book that you just... you're not paying attention because you're captivated by it. Well, how does that happen? How do you get to the place to where you're reading a book and you get so lost in it that you feel like you're somewhere else? Because you're not. I mean, if you're reading a science fiction book, you feel like you're on the moon. You're not on the moon, y'all. You're sitting, I mean, you may be like floating around in the moon in your head. I don't know, but you're physically not on the moon. You're sitting in your chair in the living room. How do you get there? The way you get there is because of the words that you've read. The words that you read create images in your mind. And those images create thoughts, and you start to dwell on those, And as you dwell on those become a reality to you. It's all because of words. It's all because of the words that you have read. The words that you read create an image which creates thoughts. And the thoughts produce action or change your environment. So when you're reading that book, you're literally reading words. Words create images. Get this down. Words create. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is this, is if you close your eyes and I say the word black dog, all of you saw a black dog. But every dog is different. Some of you saw a black poodle. Some of you saw a black German shepherd. Some of you saw a black miniature dog. Some of you saw a black huge dog. Why? Everybody has a different view of a black dog because of what they've seen. But that one word, black dog, creates an image in your mind instantly. And if in 2023, if we're going to grab a hold of and live the life that God wants us to live, we're going to have to be cautious. Listen, you're going to have to be cautious to the words you think or the words you read or the words you talk and the thoughts that you allow in your mind. The words and your thoughts. There are two areas of your life that if you can work on those, your words and your thoughts, then it'll change your whole life. It's amazing to me as a pastor. I've watched this throughout my whole life. How many people want their life to change, but they think it's got to be something else? So they try to pursue something else to change their life. Well, I'm going to spend countless hours reading theological discussion books. Well, that's good and all, but it probably won't change your life that much. You know, well, I'm going to spend countless hours in prayer. Well, that's good, but, you know, I mean, you got to do more than just pray. You got to read the word. You got to do more than just read the word. You got to act on the word. There's more to it than just one thing. But what happens is most people want their life to change, but they don't realize that the change in their life will happen when they change what they think upon and what they say out of their mouth. It's very, very simple, but yet it's very, very profound. Because most of the time, the battle that we face between our ears is a result of what's coming out of our mouth. You don't believe maybe that that could be true, but it is. You say, well, how can I believe? I don't believe that's true. Let me give you an example. It's true because if you talk out of your mouth struggle and lack and fear and anxiety, what's the thoughts that go on in your mind? Struggle, fear, lack, anxiety. You talk it long enough, you'll believe it. Why? Because every word creates. And it creates an image in your mind, and that image gets enrooted in your mind, and you start to believe what you see in your mind as truth. In the same way that when you read that book, you believed that you were on the moon. Same thing happens. So it's your words and your thoughts. It boils down to those two simple things. If Christians and believers can get their thoughts and their words in line, they can change their whole life. That's as simple as it is. But what happens is people make it so hard. They say, well, you know, I got to do all this stuff. I got to do all this stuff. Well, you know, one of the simplest things you can do, change what you think and what you say. So the first thing that happens is this: God will change what you say. Number one, God is going to change what you say. Genesis 17:5 says this. He's changing Abraham's name here. Abram was his name before it was Abraham. And if you look here in Genesis 17:5, it says this: neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For the father of a multitude of nations have I made thee. Genesis 17:15, he changes his wife's name to Sarah. God changed Abraham's name. God changed Abraham's name. Why did he change Abraham's name? Proverbs 23:7. For as a man or a woman thinketh within himself, so is he. So as you think, so you are. So what God did is this. This is what's awesome with what God did with Abraham. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Why? Because every time he said his name, he was creating an image in his mind of who he was going to be. So every time they said, Abraham, come here, all of a sudden they're saying, Father of many nations, come here. What's your name? Abraham, father of many nations. Where are you going, Abraham, father of many nations? What are you going to do today, Abraham, father of many nations? What happens if you hear your name enough? You create an image in your mind of how you are. So he started changing. God literally changed the image of how Abraham saw himself by changing his name to get him to change what he said out of his mouth, therefore to change what he was thinking upon, to change what he was thinking. That is why God will work, number one of the areas, is work on what you say. Because as you thinketh in your heart, so are you. So he will work with you on what you say, first and foremost, because if he can change what you're saying, he can change what you're thinking. And if he can change what you're thinking, he can change what you're saying. And if he can change what you're saying, he can change what you're thinking. And if he can change what you're thinking, he can change what you're saying. You see what happens? So what God did with Abram is he said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to change your name and your wife's name to get you to understand that you're going to be the father of many nations. So even though it doesn't look like you are, my word is true, you will be the father of many nations. This is true with kids. Our son's name is what? Dax. Dax is his name. Now, we just didn't come up with that name because we got bored and we just thought it would be a good name. And, you know, we were like, let's just pick a random name. And my wife said, Dax. And I was like, that sounds good. Let's go with it. Our son's name is Daxton Victor White. Victor was my father's middle name. But the word Dax or Daxton means an overcomer of obstacles, a victor. Daxton Victor White. So every time we say his name, what are we saying? Dax, come here, Dax. Overcomer many obstacles, come here. Overcomer of obstacles, come here. Victor, come here. You're victor. You're victorious. Come here. Come here, Daxton. Come here, overcomer many obstacles. Come here, Matthew. Matthew, you're a gift of God. You're from God. God has blessed us with you. Come here, Matthew. Every time my parents said my name, good, bad, or ugly, I was reminded that I was a gift from God. So see, God took Abram's name and changed what he was saying out of his mouth to change his thoughts. And God will work with you about what you're saying about 2023. Because if you say the wrong thing, you think the wrong thing. If you think the wrong thing, you do the wrong thing. And if you do the wrong thing, you get the wrong result. It's all things we know, but it has to be repeated so that we get it down on the inside of us. Because here's what will happen. 2023 comes around. Oh, what happens if gas goes to $9? What did you just say? God's not enough. Thank you so much for the amens and the oh me's and the silence. Because we've all done it. You know, here we go. I'll just ring real home since my wife's in here with me today. You know, gosh, my wife annoys me. Guess what she's probably going to do? Annoy me. Why? Because what did you say out of your mouth? She annoys me. So every time I see her, come here, annoyance. Come here, annoyance. Here we go, wives. Gosh, my husband's so stupid. Well, put me on the keys and let me sing about that. You know, come here, stupid. Come here, stupid. So every time he does something, stupid. What do you see? Stupid. Why? Because it's what you say is what you see, what the thought, that word did what? It creates an image. See, that's why when that word spoken out of your mouth creates an image, it has power. That's why Mark 11:23, he says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. See, you got to believe what you're saying. And a lot of times what you're saying, here's a good way to know what you really believe. Are you ready for this? This might hurt a little bit, but it'll help us. When pressure comes on you, what comes out of you? Husbands, when your wife doesn't do what she's supposed to do, what comes out of you? Wives, when your husband pushes on you and doesn't do it the way you wanted it, what comes out of you? Because that's what you think about it. That's what you really think. So when the pressure of money squeezes you, what comes out of you? We always struggle. That's what you believe. What happens when a bill comes up and you can't pay it? We always lack. Dumb bills? That's what you think. Well, you know, I believe in God for this. Are you really? Pressure comes. God never provides. He always takes care of everybody else. You say, now, Pastor, why are you preaching so harsh on that? Because I've done it, and I got the T-shirt and the sweatsuit and the whole outfit. I've done it. So I can preach it because I know what happens when you do it is you get that result. So what you have to do is you have to change what you say. So God will work with you on your saying. He'll always work with you with what you're saying. He'll work with you with what's coming out of your mouth. He'll work with you to change that because what you talk about is what you see. You talk fear, what do you see? Fear. Talk doubt, what do you get? Doubt. You talk anxiety, what do you get? You talk love, whatever you talk is what you'll see. Remember what I said at the beginning of it? Black dog. It works. So, you know, if you want to see something change in your life, start talking it. Start talking about it. Start saying what the Word says about it. Start saying what the Bible, even though it may seem contradictory to what you're seeing, say what God's Word says. Because if you change what you say, then number two, God will start changing what you think also. What you think and what you say are the two things that God will work on you in this next year if you let Him, and it will change your whole life. 2023 can be the best year yet, but it'll change your whole life and propel you forward if you start changing what you say and what you think. So number one, God will help you with what you say, but He'll also help you change what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So God will help you change what you think. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this in the English Standard Version. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living, holy, and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. Transformation comes when you change what? Your thinking. So see, it's like this cycle that God does. It's such an awesome thing because God knows what He's doing. He'll change your thinking on something to get to change what you're saying. He'll change your saying to help you change your thinking. He'll change your thinking to change your saying. Change your saying to change your thinking. See what He's doing? If I can get you to change your thinking, He's saying, then I can get you to change what you say. If I can get you to change what you say, then I can get you to change what you think. See what He does? And then what does He do? He changes those two areas, and your whole world changes. Your marriage gets better. Woo! Your spouse gets better looking, even when they mess up. What's up, babe? You know? She's like, hello, honey. I'm like, hello, babe. Why? Because we've been practicing what we're preaching. So what are we doing? Changing what we're thinking. See, it's interesting because every time that something happens in my marriage, it's always very fascinating to me how God does it. He never usually goes to my wife. He usually comes to me. And He'll always say to me, what are you thinking? What do you think about her? And I'm like, she's my wife, but what do you think? Oh, okay, I got what you're saying. What's He doing? Your thinking's wrong about her. See, it's very easy to focus on shortcomings of people because anybody can do that. That's simple, you know. I can pick out everything that's wrong with anybody. I mean, it's not hard. Anybody can do that. But looking past that and looking to who they are as a person and seeing them the way God sees them and thinking that way and saying that takes a little bit more discipline. So that's what you have to do in your marriage. That's what you do with your friendships. That's what you do with people at church. You have to look past the outside and look to the heart of people. And here's something I found out as a pastor. If you speak to what's there and what God has placed there, you'll pull out what God's placed there. But if you speak to what's not there, you'll pull out what's not there. Come on now. So He's going to work on what you're thinking, but also on what you're saying. Look at this, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it shall eat its fruit thereof. I had the Lord say this to me about this scripture. You ready? Your words will determine what table you eat at. Your words will determine what table you eat at. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Genesis 1, verses 1 through 3, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. First thing God did with the world he created is he said it and it happened. There was creative power in his words. Life was in his word. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. God said to me this way, your words will determine what table you will eat at. You will eat at a table of provision, or you'll eat at a table of lack. You'll eat at a table of peace, or you'll eat at a table of turmoil. Your words will determine it. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I don't believe this whole thing with words. You know, if you don't believe the thing with words, let's just go back here for a second. If you don't believe it, then let me just challenge you with something. If you don't believe words have power, then why is it that some of you words were spoken over you when you were a kid and they still haunt you to this day? Somebody called you stupid when you were three and you still remember that to this day. If words don't have power, then it shouldn't affect you. Now I'm going to get real close to the ladies here. Get down in your living room. Is that okay? Words have power, women. That's why when somebody tells you that you're not beautiful, you believe it. And you hold on to that instead of finding out what God says about you. If words don't have power, then what that kid said to you when you were five should never affect you. I had a kid tell me when I was 10, I'm 44. I know, I look good for 44. when I was 10, I had a kid called me Oval Head. He called me Oval Head. I laugh now about it because it's kind of funny. But when I was 10 years old, I was like, that hurt and kicked me to the core. So much so that it ruined like half of my childhood because every time I tried to do something, I was reminded, Oval Head. I thought, Oval Head? I'm like, whatever, Oval Head. I'd like to find that kid now and be like, what's up, Oval Head? You know, bring you in here and I'll talk to you, you know. But that word, even though it's humorous, it had power. But it's the same thing that happens with young girls, same thing that happens with young men. Because if words don't have power, then why do we always hear people say, be careful what you say around kids? If words don't have power, then why is it that you watch, guys, I've seen this. I had a friend of mine. Words have power. What we think, what we say. My neighbor was one of my best friend when I grew up. And his parents, they had a rough life growing up. His mom was a smoker and a slight drinker, and his dad was an alcoholic, full blown. To function, he had to drink almost a 24 pack in a day just to function. Every day he came home, 24 pack was in his hand every day. And I went over to his house one time when we were younger, and there was a hole in the wall, and I said to the kid, I said, what's that? And he said, my dad got mad at my mom and threw a beer can and threw it through the wall. I would be sleeping in my den at the house, and I'd get a knock on the window in the den at my parents' house, and it would be him, and he would want to come over and crash in my house because his parents were fighting or his mom and dad were drunk. And he said to me, out of his mouth, he said to me, I will never drink and smoke because I saw what it did to my family. And I ended up moving away, going and doing ministry when I was about 20. And I was away for almost 12 years of my life doing ministry, traveling around and doing things. And I came back. He had moved. They had to move because of a situation. They had to move away. And they moved away out of state. And, you know, they're no longer here. But the last time I saw him, the last time I noticed him or talked to him, guess what was going on in his life? He was drinking and smoking just like his parents. You say, why? Because the words that were said to him and the environment he lived in affected him so much that he did exactly what he saw mimicked to him through his whole life. He never got out of it. He never did what? He never changed what was going on in here. Never changed what was going on in here. I had God tell me this when I moved away. I said, Lord, why'd you move me away from my hometown when I was, 20 years old? Why? He said, Matt, I needed to get out of you what people had put into you. He said people had said things about you. You had wrong thoughts. I had to get that out of you to get what I thought about you in you so that when I brought you back, it wouldn't move you. So I had to change some things. So words have power. So when people tell me they don't have power, I'm like, I beg to differ. And plus the Word of God tells me that they do. So number one, God changes what you think, what you say, but then God changes what you think. Why does he do that? Because like I said before, it's that cycle. And if he can get you to change that, your whole world will change. Whole world will change. You know, I like this. This is a quote I read yesterday. It says this, be sure you taste your words before you spit them out. Be sure you taste your words before you spit them out. Make sure you're cautious with what you say. Excuse me. What you say determines what you think. What you think will determine what you believe. What you believe will determine how you act. If you want to change your whole life, work on your thinking and your saying. That's it. Thinking and saying. And you know what's awesome? If you can't do it, God wouldn't tell you in the Bible that you could do it. That means you can do it. So you might say, oh, but Pastor, that's so hard. Well, God wouldn't put it in there in the Bible if you couldn't do it with him. You can literally change what you think. You can change what you say. You can change your whole attitude. You say, can it work? Think of it this way. If I were to tell you, see, there's people here today. There are people that are not here today at church. There are people not here that can't make it. There are other people that are not here. Doesn't matter. I'm just using this as an illustration. But if I were to say today, if you come to church next week, if you come to church next week, all of you will get $25,000. Y'all, this church would be filled. And I'll tell you this much, there would be a snowstorm. I would probably go outside and people would be walking down the street with snow shovels. Coming to church. Where are you going? Going to church. See, the word you say have power, but you determine that word, what you think. So what do you think? If I get to church, I'm going to get that money. See, you start changing what you think. I mean, if I said that to you, man, y'all be thinking about it all week, would you not? Some of you all would start like going to stores to buy stuff. All the ladies in the place would be like, hello, Amazon. And all the husbands will be like, yeah, the patio's getting full. But changing what we think. See, if we change what we say, change what we think, it changes our whole life. You meditate on that. You'll be willing to do whatever you want. You can change what you think. You can change what you say. You can do it if you just work on it. You know, if I told you there was going to be money here, you would start thinking about it. You would start meditating on it. You guys, all of us in this room, how many of you guys know this? We all roll thoughts over in our mind all day. And I'm going to help some of you out here today. You ready? This will set some of you free. I say this all the time, but it frees somebody maybe every time I say it. People in this room aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are. I'll say it this way. You would be mad if you found out how much we don't think about you. We're not spending all of our time thinking about you. We're thinking about what? Other things. We're thinking about stuff. When you're sitting in your car, you're thinking. When you're sitting watching TV, you're thinking. Why are you watching TV? This is what happens with television. I see it. I hear it. I think it. I say it. Now I've got this image in my mind. So one of the things you have to be very cautious of, if you're going to change what you think and what you say, you have to guard your eyes, your ears, and what you say out of your mouth. It's not like that old song, you know, head and shoulders, knees and toes, eyes and ears and mouth and nose. I've heard every kid's song, and it's stuck in me now. It's like I can't get it out. The other day, totally side note, but the other day I was with my wife, and we were with a bunch of adults, and my wife said she was concerned for me that I've been hanging out with my son too much, and I need to get around adults a little more because I said to the adults, I said, I'll be back. I got to go potty. And I didn't even know I said it. And I was like, glory to God, I got to change what I'm thinking. But, you know, it's just what happens. I'm serious. You hang around kids, it just comes out. But what you're thinking on and what you're saying. So you have to be cautious. You have to guard those things. See, this is why do you think the enemy, let's think for a second here. Why do you think the enemy hits kids with social media so hard? To make money? No. Why? Because kids are vulnerable to what they see, what they hear, and what they say. My son, my son doesn't have a phone. I mean, he's one, you know. Dude don't need a phone. But we found this out with Dax. When we change his diaper, he's at this phase now where once you take the diaper off, the dude wants to run. I'm like, we got to work on this, man. We got to work on this. But my wife and I have found out that, you know, if you give him something, he stays occupied long enough for you to change his diaper. So you just grab anything and give it to him. You're like, you know, whatever, a coat hanger here. Look, well, and he's like, coat hanger, greatest thing ever. And then he's done with it, and he throws it, and now he wants it. And so one day we had our phone, and he grabbed our phone. And as we said, it's kind of humorous because he has no idea what we do on our phone, but he just thinks we touch it. So he takes your phone, and he just goes like this. And then he'll go, da 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 da. That's all he knows. But what's interesting is when the phone kicked on one time, my wife has a video of our son. He accidentally got her phone and turned it on and saw himself. And so this video is Dax looking at himself on the phone. He's like, whoa, like checking himself out, like smiling and laughing. Okay, so the dude is one. So think about how stuff affects children as they get older. So the enemy knows this. So what's he try to do? Social media. Television. Have you guys noticed television lately? Like, what in the world is going on with TV? I mean, my wife and I have tried to watch 5 or 6 shows, and we get episode 2 into it, and it's full-blown. And I'm not talking, like, just little. I'm talking, like, what in the world am I? Like, we watched a kid movie the other day. We were going to watch it, and we thought we would watch it with Dax down the road, but we were like, we're going to just watch it together. A kid's movie. Kids movie. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Kids movie. And we were 20 minutes into it, and they were having two women making out on a park bench. And I'm sitting there, and Kat goes, did you see that? And I go, see what? I'm not. And she said, right there. And I'm just like, a kid is going to sit here and like, what? Why? Because if they can change what you think, they can change what you say. They can change the way that you see what's happening with the younger generation. Now, why do you think the enemy's after it? He doesn't have to try too hard. All he's got to do is just get you hooked watching television. See, I'm not opposed to TV. I'm not saying you can't go to a movie. I'm not saying you can't have a smartphone. I'm not saying you can't be on social media. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, I'm gonna step on some toes here, but I'm just going to say this. Young people, girls, you cannot spend countless hours looking at other women comparing yourself to them. You can't do it. Because if you do it long enough, you'll believe that that's a reality, and you'll compare yourself to that. You'll start thinking that, talking that, and acting that way. You're beautifully and wonderfully created in the image of God. God has made you and orchestrated you in your mother's womb, is what Scripture said. And when you came into this world, the angels rejoiced because there's a child that was born. And when you got saved, God rejoiced, the angels rejoiced. I mean, you are created in His image. Every single one of you is unique and beautifully and wonderfully made. Everything about you is amazing. All of you have a unique fingerprint. All of you have unique eyes. All of you don't even laugh the same. Ha, ha, ha. You don't laugh the same. You don't smile the same. You don't think the same in the sense you like different things. That shows me that there's a creative force behind you that has created you and made you, which was God. You have to find out who you are in Him and spend your time looking into the Word of God to identify yourself with what He says, so that dominates your life and social media doesn't dominate your life. Now, I'm going to say this. Husbands and wives, we can't spend countless hours looking at everybody else's marriages and comparing our marriages to everybody else, because it's just a snapshot of their marriage. It's not real. It doesn't tell you the whole story. It's not really real. You got to quit spending all your hours looking at everybody's marriage, watching everybody else's family. Y'all, like, this morning at my house is pure chaos, yo. That's my cool lingo, yo. But it was crazy this morning. And people would see my wife and I, and they'll say, oh, your life is so peaceful. Y'all want to come home with me? Excuse me. It's not like that all the time. You get a snapshot of our life on a Sunday. Instagram is a snapshot. Facebook is a snapshot. I love watching teenage girls take pictures. You know how many pictures they take to get the right picture? A whole lot. A whole lot. Because you got to get the right angle. You got to get the right filter. And then they have filters now. Filters make you look different. Y'all, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. That shows you my age. Like, you can put a filter on you and put a beard on you, and you ain't got no beard. That's not fair. You know? But what they do is they put filters on. And what happens is young people spend countless hours looking at something, and the enemy uses that to get into their mind and to get into their thought process to change what they think about themselves. And then you have young people going around thinking they're ugly, they're not cool, they're not beautiful, they're not wonderfully made, they're worthless. And then what happens is you have young people committing suicide and doing horrible things to themselves because they don't believe that God made them with a purpose for this life. And it's all because of the fact that they didn't guard what they saw, what they heard, and what was being put in front of them. They just watched it. And as adults, we have to be cautious. Because something I find out with my kid, he watches me. He mimics me now. Help me. You know, he does things like me. He says things like me. He laughs like me. He watches me. He watches my wife, and he mimics and does what we do. So we have to, as adults, we have to say, I got to guard this. Why? Because I want my life to be different in 2023. I have to put a guard over my mouth. I got to put a guard over my eyes and my ears and what I see and what I have to guard it. This is the number one thing Pastor Marvin told me all the time. Constantly told me that. Matt, be careful with what you see and what you hear. Matt, be careful with what you watch. You can't watch that. You can't. You know what he told me? He said, when you got saved, you got born again, you're no longer part of the buddy system. He said, you can't run with the same crowd. You can't act the same way. You can't talk the same way. You're different. And he would say, be cautious with what you see and what you hear. You can't act like everybody else. You can't do the things everybody. I can't go the places some of my friends go anymore. I can't do it. And I'm glad I don't, because I need to be an influence for them. So in this year, God's going to work on us to help us, what? With changing our thinking, but also changing what we say. But we have to be cautious and guard ourselves. And I'm not talking about guarding, like put yourself in a room like a monk and not do anything. Okay? I'm not saying you got to go get a robe on and go around Walmart and have glasses on like horse blinders and you can't look at anybody because pastor said I can't see nothing. You know, I don't want to look to the left. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you be cautious. You be cautious with what you watch. And here's one of the things we said last week. You remember what we said last week? Learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. Learn to listen. Follow that peace. Here's how you know. Here's how you know. You know how you know? Here's how you know. I'm going to tell you. When you start watching something, right here, you'll get an uneasiness. That is your check from God to shut it off. You hear a song on the radio, and you're like, ooh, this is a new song, dancing around with my friends. And all of a sudden right here, you're like, that doesn't seem right. It seems like you're wearing your socks on in the shower. It seems like you're riding a horse backward. It just seems wrong. You're just like, something's not right. What's that? God's saying to you, shut it off. He's not telling you you can't have fun. He's saying what you're watching and what you're going to hear is going to change you and it will affect you. Because I know this much, there are things, and let's just be real honest right now, there are images that you see on television. Fellas, can we talk for a second? There are images that you see on television that as a man, it's there and you were 12 years old. See, it's what we saw. We have to be cautious with what we see. That's why those words, that's why what am I trying to get to you this morning? Simply this. I want you as your pastor to really just guard yourself this year and be proactive, but really work on what you're thinking and what you're saying. Just work on it. And then the Holy Spirit is there to help you. And here's the thing. You go, what happens if I miss it? God's there to forgive. He's there to help. He's there to teach you and show you and help you and keep moving you forward. God's not there to condemn you. He's there to help you. You know, because somebody might be like, I missed it. I watched something I shouldn't have watched. Okay, just say, Lord, I've missed it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Now I need to move forward. And what will happen when you move forward, God will help you. He'll show you. He'll correct you and help you out. And what happens is it starts to change your whole life. It takes work. And, you know, it's as believers and as Christians, like I said last week, one of the things that faith people get in this limbo mode is they think that, you know, faith people are people that don't have to do anything. We just sit back and put our feet up and just believe God, and we don't have to do nothing. No, that's not the case. Faith has corresponding action with it. So it does require us to actually do something. We have to work on it a little bit. Some of us, you know, we just have to work on it. Means we got to put a guard over some things. We got to be cautious with what we do. God will work on what we say. He'll help you with what you say. He'll help you with what you think. But he'll also help you with what you see and what you hear, what you're looking at, what you're listening to with television or even on songs or people. Anybody ever notice that when you're around certain people? You ever notice that when you're around certain people, there's two different types of people. There's people that when you get around them, they make you happy. You ever notice that? I'm one of those people. That's me. I'm lost. But you know, there's some people you get around and they're real happy. You like to get around them. Why? You want them in the room. You want them around. Why? Because they bring happiness with them. Why? Because what they say, what they do, they bring happiness. But you ever notice how there's people that come into a room and you're like, uh-oh. Oh, they're coming. Here they come. How long are we going to stay before we got to bail on this? Okay, we're just going to, the code word is this. Okay, we're going to get out of here. Why? Because everything they say is negative. And what they say affects you. See, what you say affects you. It affects everything, guys. It affects your whole environment. You ever notice? Like, that's why I try to be encouraging and not come in here and preach hell, fire, and damnation. Because I don't do nothing. It just all it does is beat you up and makes you feel, why? Because what I say as your pastor has power. So I would encourage you, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me in this next year. Help me with what I'm watching. Help me with what I'm saying. Help me with what I'm thinking. Help me. I'll work with you. We'll work together on this. Just help me. And what you're going to notice is he's going to start. The first place he's going to start, he's going to say, crack open the Bible. Let me show you something. And he's going to show you a scripture, and he's going to help you see that scripture. And then he's going to say, you know when your wife frustrates you? Yeah, I want you to think this. And then what will happen is your wife, this is what happens with God. You guys are going to leave here today, and here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you like a forewarning before I pray and let you go. That is, you will leave here, and you will have an opportunity to practice that this week. You will. Some of you are going to get to practice it when you go in the parking lot. It's really good. Because every time I preach patience, every time I preach patience, God's like, here we go. Let's bring out every tractor in Illinois and line them up on this route and see how pastor does with this, you know. And it's like my wife sent me a thing recently, and it says, you know, when you're a sanctified believer but you have road rage and, you know, you're speaking the word. And the guy was like, you know, I mean, it was hysterical. I was laughing so hard. He's yelling at a car. Get out of my way, Lord Jesus, you know, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's how it is. Like, every time I do something here, it's always funny. I think my mom even tells me one time I was preaching something and we had to go. We were doing something and she said, you know, can we, like, preach something a little different next week? Because I'm having to work on this. Because why? Because the word works in your life. And what happens is, and that's what's awesome about the word. It's working. And so it's working. So when you leave here, you get to go, hallelujah, God's word's working. And the word's working in my life because why? Because God wants you to advance this year. He doesn't want you the same. He wants you to change some things in your life so that you will be different and so that 2023 will be different and your whole life will be different and your kids will be different and your marriages will be different and your personal life will be different and everything will change and you'll get real excited about things and you'll be like, man, last year I was having a hard time, but all of a sudden I started changing my thinking and what I was saying and everything has turned around. Why? Because God started working in you. So when you leave here and something happens and you have to practice it, don't get mad, get glad. That was a commercial back in 1980s. You remember that, those of us that are older? Don't get mad, get glad. It was a Ziploc commercial. Do they still do that? I don't know. The older people get it. The younger people look at me like, you are so weird. I'm weird, but God loves me, and I'm content. So that's all that matters. But I just want to encourage you. Let's leave here today excited. And when things happen, just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you're helping me. Now, how do I need to change my thinking on that? Thank you, Lord, that you helped me with what I said. You caught it. Now, what do I need to say instead of that? Thank you, Lord. Oh, I turned that show on, and I got that check. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to shut that off. What do you want me to do? Oh, you want me to go watch something else or read something else or go spend? Okay, I'll do that. Can we do that today? Can you do that this week? Just do it for the week. That's all you got to do. And then just come back next week, and it'll get better. Amen? It keeps getting better with God. Amen? It's not going downhill. We're going uphill. Uphill to his blessing. Amen? I'm excited. Well, did you get anything? I gave you a lot, but you know what? I got it out, and I'm happy. I got it out, and I'm happy, and I'm glad, and I'm just so thrilled because I believe this much. This next year, you guys, we're coming up. Come on now. We're coming up. It's going to be good. And God said, you know, for 2023 to be different for the people of Life Point Church, they're going to have to change their thinking and what they're saying. He said, if they can change their thinking and saying, this next year is going to be the best year, excuse me, the best year yet for them. And I truly believe it's going to be your best year yet. Amen. Because I know you guys, and I know that the Lord is going to speak to you, and you're sensitive. He's going to help you and direct you. So let's just pray this morning before I let you go. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, I just thank you today. Lord, I just thank you for these men and women here. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. Thank you, Father, for just helping us to change what we think and what we say. Lord, I thank you that you've been helping me in this area, but I thank you as you've helped me that you help these men and women. And Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher, that you are the comforter, that you are the counselor. You're called alongside to help us. So we just ask for your help right now in this area. Some of us need to work maybe more in certain areas, or maybe we need to change our thinking about something, or maybe we're saying the wrong thing. Just help us in certain areas, and we're just going to trust you to help us, to lead us and guide us and direct us. And we just thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your presence upon us. Thank you for watching over us this week. And we just thank you, Lord, for a great week and a great week in front of us, because you're with us and you're for us and you're not against us. And we thank you, Lord, that we are changing, and that 2023 is going to be the best year yet for us, because we're growing, we're maturing, we're changing what we think, but we're also changing what we say. And we give you praise today in Jesus' name.